When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
The other adjustment I would make is You gotta find a way to get LeBron the ball with his dribble still alive, meaning like catching the ball at the elbow somehow and allow him to kind of command the offense from there. The further out that he is in this offense and the further out that he has the ball in this offense, the easier it is for Denver to pre-rotate and to understand who is where and what his safety valves might be on those drives. You got to figure out a way to keep LeBron. Like, he was great in the first half, and then he was just non-existent really offensively in the second half. That can't happen. Like, if you can't have LeBron have as little impact as he did in the second half again and hope to have any chance whatsoever in this series. Finally, I would try to see, like, you got to get Austin Reeves. You got to find a way to get him the ball and make him a bigger part of this offensively. Like, my dad was texting me all day about, like, the defense and the approach with Rui and stuff like that. And, like, I understand it. Like, I think Jokic went 8 of 9 when he was guarded by Rui. Totally understand why fans would be like, okay, that's the easy thing to change here. And that's the easy adjustment, is to find a way to, you know, help with whatever you were struggling with defensively. But to me, the problem was offense. To me, you know, I think the Lakers scored 101 points in that game. That's way too low. The Lakers were a great offense this season and they looked hapless, you know, whether it was going away from running sets. What, you know, and we know that the Lakers are a terrible freelancing team because they just have no understanding of what they should be trying to accomplish when they do freelance. And then, you know, with Austin, he had no rhythm offensively, and he was basically, you know, he became, you know, a standstill shooter who, you know, if he was touching the ball, it was more likely, or it was as likely, that it was going to go up from 30 feet out as it was that he was going to get to the basket or even attempt to get to the basket. And that's just, you know, Austin needs to be better than that, or he needs to be more impactful than that. And, you know, I think part of it, again, goes back to the attempts to get D'Lo going. And I understand where they're coming from on that front. But at the end of the day, when it's clear that D'Lo isn't going to get it going, you got to go back to the guys that you know, really have put you in decent situations to this point. Those guys are Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Austin Reeves in the playoffs. So those are the few things that I would look for heading into game 2. Maybe a little bit more, you know, two big type situations where you have Hayes and AD, or you have Christian Wood and AD out. Well, no, he won't. Wood won't play in game two, according to those reports. But maybe it's, I would like to see a little bit more Hayes and AD out there than we got in that game. And I know Hayes got in a foul trouble, but who cares if Hayes is in foul trouble? If he fouls out, then oh well. Like, he's going to play 10 minutes tops anyway. So like that was, the same goes for Gabe. Like I think the Lakers need to get a little bit more creative in finding ways to get more size out there against this big physical Denver team. And you know, until they find a way to do that, I'm concerned that we're going to see that same script play out the same way night in, night out. All right. I'm going to go ahead and dive on into some of the questions here. I do have a couple from the iTunes mailbag, one from Viva Exceptionalism. Hey, Anthony, not my first review, but as always, the best Lakers pod out there. Love it. Greatly appreciate that, man. I really do. And the competition is really stiff. Like, there are so many really, really smart people making Lakers content. It makes me, it forces me to be better at my job. But I, you know, to hear something like that, I really appreciate it. The other day you were discussing whether the Lakers should take their Lakers pick now, whether the Pelicans should take the Lakers pick now or next year. One thing that the Pelicans need to consider is that if they wait, the Lakers will have three first rounders to trade. So if they make a trade either for a third star or just to acquire more talent, hopefully young talent, that may vault them up the standings next year, making the pick a lot less valuable. Yeah, I you know, initially my initial kind of instinct here was to say that it makes sense for the Pelicans to kind of gamble my initial instinct was that the Pelicans should take the pick now. And with the thought that the Lakers are going to get better next year, that they're going to fire Darvin, and that they'll make upgrades to the roster and all of that stuff, and that they'll be better next year. I think I mostly still stand by that, you know. And you know, the you do have this lottery ticket, and it is a better draft class next year. Sabrina made a good case for it. Others that I've spoken to have also made that case as well. And I honestly don't know what the Pelicans are going to do. Now, it isn't a lottery pick. And I think the fact that it isn't a lottery pick now means that the Pelicans are going to wait and hope that it becomes a lottery pick. But yeah, I, you know, shorting the Lakers, making bad decisions has typically worked out. And, you know, we'll see what that kind of looks like. We'll spend more time on topics like that as we get closer to the off season. The next one here from Keep Pricks. I understand yours and Harrison's take about tanking the 7-8 game, but it's good that the Lakers won it because you can see that AD's back was still bothering him and he wasn't himself mobility wise. And then winning the game versus the Pels bought him an extra day's rest, extra days to rest up. He would have only had a couple days to heal up the back and then be playing on Friday. Same for LeBron. He was getting gassed midway through the fourth. Another reason you want Denver early is that when you'll have both LeBron and AD rested at their max and not beat up after going around or two already. Yeah, like, I understand, like, there are certainly like logistical and practical reasons to tank beyond understanding that, like, hoping that a team loses is not how fans are going to operate in this kind of setting. It's one thing to hope that a team loses to improve your draft status. It's another altogether to hope that a team loses to improve their playoff situations. You know, all right, so I'm going to go point by point here. AD's back was still bothering him. Okay, but you would have rested him. Like, he wouldn't have played. So you get that rest kind of anyway. You do play an extra game, and then you do pick things right back up after that game. And so maybe that's you know, that makes you worry a little bit. But if AD doesn't play in that 7-8 game and LeBron doesn't play in that 7-8 game, you get roughly as much rest that way as they had resting up for this game here. And also, if you win that game, you don't have to worry about altitude. And, you know, that's clearly a factor in that first game against Denver there. The Lakers looked exhausted in the second half. The other one, the other point here is you'll have LeBron and AD rested and at their max and not beat up after already going a round or two. I mean, okay, but you don't have Vanderbilt in this series. He would help. And, you know, while LeBron and AD might get worn down, the Nuggets have like a 7 or 8 guy rotation, and they're like one injury away from needing to start Christian Brown or needing to start Reggie Jackson or something like that. And it's, you know, I think they are just as capable of getting worn down over the course of the playoffs as the Lakers are because of how thin their rotation is. But I don't know. I watched that Pelicans game tonight and I kept on thinking that it made a bunch of sense for the Lakers to tank, to play against them, because I'm just not very impressed with OKC in this playoff setting right now. I think they're going to be terrifying here moving forward. They might get as terrifying moving forward as the Nuggets are now, and the Lakers have to play the Nuggets now. I'm going to go and do the take a look at some more super comments here. Legend asks a good question that I accidentally pulled up earlier, but what's a positive from a rude awakening versus Denver is what Legend is asking. That's a good question. It's a fun question. If the Lakers get swept here, I don't see how Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, who want to, like, I'm probably going to drop an article tomorrow on my Substack. I haven't written for Substack in a little bit. I am looking to drop an article here to give some, offer up some intel on Darvin Ham's job security, depending on the outcome of this series. And if the Lakers get swept again, you have to fire him. You have to. Like, you know, it was a frustrating season as it was, and then it gets swept in the first round. It is essentially like, it's barely half a step better than losing in the play-in. And, you know, I think you have to fire him there. Will they? I would love to be able to have a better answer or an answer as to, like, you know, any confidence that the Lakers definitely would fire him. And again, that's that, you know, that'll be a teaser for tomorrow's article on Substack. But in terms of like other rude awakenings, actually, the thing that I'm a little concerned about here is that like their rude awakening would be, all right, well, we did the depth thing. Now we got to go out and get a third star. And I just don't know, like maybe Donovan Mitchell makes some sense. I really am not interested in trading a whole bunch of stuff for Trae Young. But even Donovan Mitchell, like I saw a stat the other day, he had a dunk in their first game of their series. And that was like his second or third dunk since like the All-Star break. So even he is kind of taking a bit of a step back here. I don't know. I would like to see the Lakers, like if we're talking rude awakenings, it has to be more macro. It has to be Jeannie realizing, okay, the way that I'm doing this isn't working. I need to go out and actually hire some people who are qualified for the jobs that they hold. But that isn't going to happen. So like, you know, the rude awakening is probably going to be like, well, Rob Pelinka gets another opportunity to retool, and Rob Pelinka gets another opportunity to hire a head coach. And I just don't think he's good enough to get another opportunity to do those things. Let's go. Jason Kelly has an has a question here.
Fuck Boston!
All right. So Jason Kelly writes, would the Lakers' chance of winning go up if they benched D'Lo and just played Dinwiddie and Gabe? Westbrook trade ended the AD and LBJ title window. Sigh. It's not just Russ because, like, the Russ trade was devastating and all of those things. Like, it gave up KCP, who eventually goes to Denver and becomes a key part of the best five-man lineup in the sport. But like Russ coming in allowed the Lakers to think that they didn't need Caruso. And, at that time, you know, the relationship between Clutch and the Lakers was such that the Lakers basically gambled on THT because of their relationship with Clutch instead of bringing back the surer impact player in Caruso, who might win another all defensive award this year. That would be two in the last 2 years. But you know, would the Lakers' chance of winning go up if they benched D'Lo and just played Dinwiddie and Gabe? I think it would give them a better chance. And like you have to start D'Lo, and you have to see if he, you know, is showing any signs whatsoever of turning things around, because without D'Lo, I don't think the Lakers' ceiling is high enough to beat the Nuggets 4 out of the next 6 games, right? So you have that to worry about. You also, your floor might be higher with Gabe and with Dinwiddie, but it almost doesn't matter how high your floor is if Denver's ceiling and their floor is so high that like you aren't going to be competitive long term anyway. So again, I'm 1,000,000% pulling for D'Angelo Russell to figure stuff out and to make a greater impact on this series than he has over the last 5 games in the playoffs. But I think Darvin has to be willing to ditch the effort to get D'Lo going a lot faster than we saw it in the last game. And like the idea of, you know, ditching that effort means he's just not playing. Like, you have to be willing to not play D'Angelo Russell and make that call sooner in the series than that call was made last year. All right. Let's see. Alex on Twitter, Alex AC, AC 717 is asking, any insight on to how the organization feels about the team and the coach's performance in game one? I'm not thrilled they lost, you know, and the game followed the same script. So at some point the organization is going to start to really get kind of nervous, or I would hope they're already pretty nervous about the idea that there's a team out there that the Lakers just can't get by. And maybe that informs what they do this summer too, where they basically just say it almost, and we've seen them do this, right? We've seen them do it twice in these deadlines, where if they get the sense where they feel like it doesn't matter what they do, they aren't going to be able to leapfrog Denver, then they might get even more conservative and just ride out the end of the LeBron James era and just kind of move on from there. I hope not. I'd be really bummed if that's the approach that they took, but we've seen them take that approach before. And I wrote for Silver Screen while I was still there, that like, if you look closely, if you just listen to the message that the Lakers have sent about the LeBron and AD era post Russ trade, that they don't actually really believe in those guys, because the idea that the Lakers wouldn't make even a marginal upgrade at this last deadline because they didn't feel like it was worth it while LeBron and AD were fully healthy at the time, that's a pretty resounding statement right there. And one that we shouldn't ignore, even if, you know, ignoring it makes us feel a little bit better. Cause I would feel better if I was able to just ignore it, but you know, I'm not able to just ignore those things. Going to go really quickly through Jason, I did. I just answered your super chat. Hope you were here to see it here. Gary Gutierrez, sup Anthony, why is AD settling for threes when it's been evident he can semi-bully Joker? They kind of bully each other inside on their respective sides. Why doesn't anyone say anything? I actually liked the way that AD attacked Jokic for chunks of the game, and I actually do think there's some value in AD, like seeing if he can knock down a couple threes. When the Lakers beat the Nuggets in that series in the 2020 season that led to a championship, AD was shooting really, really well from outside, and not having that weapon at all anymore is a big reason why Denver has been able to leapfrog them to the extent that they have. So I actually, now maybe AD shot one or two too many, but I don't think AD can just rely on dunks and shots that he has nothing but confidence in, because it makes him predictable. And if you make AD predictable, Jokic is going to figure that out, and he's going to be better than him on the other side. Let's go with Lakers Nation. Are you on the same boat with people who said we should have tanked? I was one of those people. Let's see. Revived, if he for some reason opted in, that would be a blessing. It's way easier to trade an expiring contract. That's why, to me, I don't think he opts in. I think this is about D'Lo. I think he opts in. If this series continues the way that it's gone to this point, and if D'Lo continues to play against Denver in the playoffs the way that he's played against Denver in the playoffs, I actually think there's a good chance he opts in, because there's no way he's getting that amount of money on the open market after yet another no-show while the Lakers lose. Revived, the Lakers have the 18th pick as of right now, so the 18th pick in a bad draft. And, like, it's not a lot. Like, that pick isn't going to move up. So I think the Pelicans wind up passing on, like, the Lakers will be able to pick 18th again, or they picked 17th last year. But I think they'll have their pick this year. We'll just... hopefully they'll get more from it than they got from their last first round pick. All right. That is it. I think that's all the questions. I'm going to scroll through one more time. Yeah, that is all the questions, and Twitter is quiet as well. And I'm going to go ahead and call it here. So the plan as of now is to go live right after tomorrow's game. And there's a lot riding on this one. I guess, like, while we're here, I could talk a little bit about my expectations for it and my prediction for it. I'm not even going to get into a prediction, to be honest, because I don't feel good about it, and I don't need to say that out loud and deal with the noise that I have gotten for merely picking the Nuggets over the Lakers in this series. But what I will say about this game is I think it's a must win. Like, I know Aaron likes to do the thing where it's only a must win if your season ends, if you don't win it. But I don't see how the Lakers come back against this Nuggets team down 0-2. You needed to get a split out of these first two games. In my opinion, you needed to get the first one. You needed to win game one. They didn't. And, you absolutely have to win game two, in my opinion. And if you don't win it, then you have to win both of your games. You have to win two in a row. And then at that point you need to win four out of five against a team that, if you lose tomorrow, will have beaten you 10 straight times. You have to win tomorrow. Have to. And, we'll see if the Lakers are up to it. Right. I hope so. I think LeBron, the way that LeBron handles this one, is going to be really interesting to watch. I thought he was kind of patient while the Lakers tried to get D'Lo going in the last game. I don't think you're going to see that same patience here in this one. I hope not, anyway. And, the hope here is that, you know, AD does what he did last game again. Like he needs to, and you need more from Austin. You need more from Rui, and your defense needs to be better. I think at the end of the day here, you know, this is an absolute must win here for the Lakers, and how they handle it, I think, is going to be really telling, not just of how this series is going to go, but of how this organization feels about their chances in this series. We'll see. All right, everybody, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. It had all the feel of a lowdown because it was just me and he had the swish noises and all of that. But because it's a Sunday, and I think because we all could just use the warm embrace of a friendly bartender, him being me, I went ahead and considered this a lounge episode. Tomorrow, Raj and I will be live, after the game. And then Wednesday, I will try to find a guest. And then Thursday, we have Aaron coming on, as he does every week. And hopefully, you know, if the Lakers are able to win tomorrow, momentum shifts and the pressure really gets applied to Denver. We'll just see how tomorrow night goes. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you tomorrow.